standing myself. Those that know or have watched the news are pulling money left and right, and some of it's useless spending and other things. Sometimes you find yourself just almost standing in the dark.
Sure.
And they can take this and they can take that. So I've got two songs in my hand. This first one, I don't even know the name of it. But there's one thing they can't ever take it.
Boy, thank God.
That's what's living inside.
Hey!
Yeah. You know, I mean, if everybody would, you know, you could look around and see how many of these things they could take every one of these.
Sure, brother.
And boy, it got on me heavy today. You know, after that message last night, those that didn't hear it, I went and I talked to other Wayne last night. I said, Wayne, I said, that's one thing I didn't know about you. You was a dangerous man. And that's what Brother Lindsay preached on, was becoming dangerous.
Yeah, brother.
And, well, that got all over me today. And I went and I fed on that. And, you know, how many of us, I mean, you search out your own self, not me, you search out your own self, and I'll do me. If somebody come and they said, hey, you can no longer have one of these.
Yep.
Bible says hide its words in our heart.
Right.
How many of us would still be able to carry on? You know, you may say, well, I can't remember scripture like Brother Kevin Sexton does. Might not be able to, but how many of us can remember the statistics of this or the statistics of that or how to do your job and everything else, but you forget about the thing that'll get you through life.
Hey.
And so I'm going to sing both of these songs because there's a lot of things they can take, but there's one thing they will never
praise
take.
God.
They can take the Ten Commandments off the courthouse walls. They can even take all the manger scenes out of the parks and malls. Oh, they can take my blessed Bible.
got your Bible, let's open up to the book of Colossians chapter number 1. Book of Colossians chapter number 1. And it's a good book. You find that place, Colossians chapter 1. Let's stand together and I'll give you what I feel like the Lord have for us tonight. You pray for us that the Lord would help us. I was talking with one of my cousins, Joshua David, and he was preaching his first message tonight. And I just told him, I said, you preach it like it'll be the first time they've ever heard it and like it's the last time you'll ever get to tell it, and that'll be good. Amen. And sometimes I know some of the messages, it's things that folks have heard, particularly if you've been in the house of God any length of time at all. You've been in Colossians chapter number 1, but that does not take away from the treasure that is in Colossians chapter 1. And it doesn't matter if you visit every day for the rest of your life. It'll be good every time you go there, I'll guarantee it. Notice the Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, we'll start reading in verse number 14, and we'll read down just a few verses. Bible says in verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things. Boy, I like that next part real good. Said, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell, having made peace through the blood of this cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in heaven or things in earth or things in heaven. Last verse I'll read, verse 27. Bible says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Heavenly Father, we bow our head before you one more time. I ask you, God, that you'd help us to heed our own advice. Oh God, I pray, help us tonight, God, to preach like it's the first time, God, that we've ever told anybody about it, and God, like it'd be the last time we'd get to. Father, I pray that you'd anoint us afresh tonight. I pray, God, you'd grant us that unction that nobody can preach without. Father, I'm very much aware that, God, that where we stand tonight, that, God, that flesh will fail us. But Lord, I thank you, God, that, Lord, of the Spirit of God, Lord, it is life and liberty. I pray, help us now, Lord. Give us a fresh anointing. Help us, Lord, not to preach anything stale, but only that which just came straight from that blessed bakery in heaven. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for everything you've done for us. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I'm interested primarily tonight in what the Bible said in verse 18. He said he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Boy, I like that last part. That in all things he might have the preeminence. I look that word up. You got to remember, I'm from Scott County, and we don't use words like that a lot. And so I looked up in Webster's 1828 what it means to be preeminent. I like what it said first. It said it means to be superior in his excellence. I thought that's a pretty good definition of what preeminence is. It seemed like that fit him. In Hebrews 7:26, and the Bible said, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners, and made higher than the heaven. I'd say he's superior. Don't you guess that's right? thank God I read this. It said that in the song, or Webster's 1828, it said the word preeminence means at a tower far above. I like it whenever Psalmist David said in Psalms 18:2, he is my high tower. That seemed like he must have known that God had the preeminence. I thought about this one. This is one of my favorite. That it said, that he is distinguished for something honorable. I thought, thank God, amen. I know something that he did. He said in John 15:13, a greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friend. I'd say that's pretty good. But the last thing it said, another one I like the best, it said when it means preeminent, it means that it surpasses all others in all characteristics. I'd say that's right, don't you guess? In John 7, the Bible said, never a man spake like this man, amen. I'd say this friend, for as good as men had ever come before him, there was nobody ever even compared. And we couldn't all get together and take the best attributes of every one of us, and they would still pale in comparison to how great he is. He is preeminent, amen. I mean, thank God, listen, we've got in this passage, as he writes to the church at Colossae, he said, I want you to know that Christ Jesus might have the preeminence. I want to ask you this question, and this is what I'm going to preach on tonight. I'm thank God simply the preeminence of Christ. And notice in verse 15, so there's four things here that God will help us tonight. I'd like to leave with you. And the first one is this, is that the Lord Jesus Christ is preeminent in creation. And the Bible said in verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God and the firstborn of every creature. I like that next part. He said, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And the last verse 17, he said, he's before all things, and by him all things consist. I would say this to you tonight, and my friend, there's nobody like it in all of creation. It's amazing that where we sit right now, a lot of folks are not interested in Christ having preeminence in their life. But every morning, as birds wake up and they start singing, and what they're saying is, that's the Creator, amen. Every day the sun rises in the morning, and just like he said it would. And you know what it said every time it comes up? It says, that's the Creator. I thought about during the daytime. And boy, I like it in the summer. And when them cicadas come out and they start chirping, and you know what they're saying? And that's the Creator, amen. I like it in the evening time. I was noticing driving over here the other night, and my windows rolled down, and the bullfrog started croaking. The crickets started chirping. You know what they were saying? And that's the Creator, amen. And thank God I like it. And when the moon comes out, and bless God, hear me, friend. And when the rain clouds show up, all of creation every day says the same thing. And that's him. And that's him, amen. I'll tell you this. The best I've ever wanted to do, I've never been able to make one drop of rain fall from the sky. I've never been able to make the sun came out. And thank God I don't have near the intelligence to do anything like that. But God asked Job, he said, who is it that makes it rain out in the desert? Who is it that brings down the treasuries of the snow? Hey, you know what he's saying? And thank God I do it every day, and never has asked nobody for help. And thank God that's him, amen. Oh, listen, friend, I start thinking about this. And you can find the origin of creation. I mean, it's preeminent. It's all about Christ. I mean, thank God, listen, in the beginning, bless God, I mean, before there was ever anything, and there was darkness and void upon the earth, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. And thank God there was light. And one of my favorite things is everything's under the water on the second day, but on the third day, that land rises up out of the water. That's a picture of the resurrection. And you know what the creation said? And Jordan, whenever that land first came out, it said, that's him, that's him. And thank God, listen. And you understand, hear me today, friend. hypocrite, and that in the Garden of Eden dusted, it was a time that man had dominion over all the animals, over the fish in the sea, over the fowls in the air. I literally do believe this, and you don't have to, between you and God. But I believe when he said dominion, I believe that's just what he meant. I believe that Adam could sit where he was at, and he could call an eagle out of the sky, and it'd come right to it. I believe he could say, here, kitty, kitty, and here'd come a lion. I believe he could call fish up, and they'd just come to where he was. I believe he had all dominion. And the boy, he messed it up. And when he sinned in the garden, and preeminence was lost. And listen to me, friend, and for 4,000 years, anytime man stepped on water, he sank under it. And for the next 4,000 years, anytime there was a wild beast, and man had to run from it. But oh, there was one born way out yonder in a manger in Bethlehem. And thank God, and when he came that day, all of creation said, that's him, that's him. And that's the one that's got the preeminence. I got to thinking about it. Hey, listen, friend. I'm talking about listen. And there's none of us that got preeminence. You step out on the ocean, you're going to sink, neighbor. Amen. And you step on the lake, you're going to drown. Amen. But not the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, look here. I don't know how it happened. But I know there's in the fourth watch of the night. I know it was real dark one night. And when the Lord took off, thank God for when he left the shore until he stepped on the sea. And the earth said, that's him. And we got to hold him up. And when he took a step on the water, and the water said, that's him. And whatever he wants is what we'll do. And step after step. And thank God when he got to the boat, and the waves was high, and the wind was blowing. And the Lord Jesus said, peace, and be still. And you know what the wind said? And the wind said, that's him. Amen. And you know what the waves said? And the waves said, that's him. Amen. And the waves said, hey. And the wind looked over and said, and did you hear what he said? And you better calm down. Amen. And just like that, I listened, friend. I don't think it took all day. I think they went from up here to just as calm as they could be. And because it was him. Amen. Hey, listen, friend. I'm talking about he can calm the wind. He can calm the waves. Unless God hear me today, friend. He can calm the waters. But I got thinking about this. This makes me happy. And there's just several things in this whole passage that makes me happy. But I like the fact that nobody else can control the fowls. But the Lord Jesus did. In 1 Kings chapter 17, Elijah's down there by the brook. Thank God he ain't got nothing to eat. Praise God, this makes me so happy. He's just a following Lord. Amen. And the Lord said, get thee down by the brook Cherith. And he said, dwell there. He said, and there I will sustain thee. And bless God, he went down by the brook. Honey, when he got down by the brook, he wasn't a bread factory. It wasn't a Merida truck. Amen. It wasn't an old-fashioned sliced bread coming. It was just him by the brook. But I believe God had no problem every single day as long as he wanted to. And the ravens caught up and they went and got bread. And it was the first Uber service that ever was. It brought the bread right to his front door. A DoorDash, amen. I mean, went from where it was at, I brought it to him, and no delivery charge, amen. And just taking care of God's man right there. I'm telling you, the fowls of the air, and they said, that's him, that's him. And boy, I like in John 21, and when they're over there fishing, and they can't get nothing, and Sonny looks over at them, and he said, cast your net on the right side. I don't find where he ever said a word. But boy, just when he said that, I believe all those 153 fish said, boys, it's time. Get yourself on the right side of that boat. I believe they were standing in contention, waiting on the command from the great captain of all eternity. He said, that's him. That's him. Amen. Boy, that's something, ain't it? I tell you what's even more something than that to me. That's when he gets ready to walk into Jerusalem and he tells them disciples, he said, go yonder. He said, where two ways meet. That's a picture of sinners. Amen. He said, you'll find a young colt tied up. He said, you tell him that the master has need of him and to loose him and bring him hither. Amen. And boy, I like it when it says they brought him hither and the Lord just sat on him. You know what happened? That old donkey said, that's the
the Lamb. That's him. That's him. Amen. Bless God. I believe he said, I believe everything in his body. If you'd have sat on him, Jordan, he'd have kicked you off. Bill, he'd have probably tried to bite you. But when the Lamb of God sat on him, he said, that's him. That's him. That's the one whom I was created for. I'm saying this. You know what blessed me even more? These things that's invisible. Brother Dustin, he's got command over. That's what the Bible said. I thank God. Listen, he's got preeminence over diseases. Amen. Amen. You better believe that's right. Amen. I mean, thank God they brought them to him that had leprosy, that was sick of the palsy, that their tongues were tied, their eyes was blind, and their ears was deaf. And to praise God every time he would speak the words. I believe that old body said, that's him, that's him, that's him. Amen. It wasn't like nobody else. Praise God. Amen. I'm saying, friend, I believe that he had power over all diseases. Don't you guess? I believe he had power over all the demons. And the demons come up, and whenever they was all there, and the Bible teaches us, he said, thou art the Christ. He said, I adjure thee, art thou come to torment us, and before our time. And the Lord cast them all out. Amen. You know what they said? They said, that's him, that's him. Amen. And now listen to me, friend. Even a dead body, and laying in the tomb, and Lazarus was there, and the Lord Jesus came by his way. I don't know how many people had probably wept outside that tomb, and they said, oh, Lazarus, oh, Lazarus. And it never did move them. Amen. But boy, when he spake that day, he said, that's him, that's him. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Up from the grave, he arose too. Amen. I came up out of there. I'm saying this, friend, in all things, he might have the preeminence. And right now, you know why you're standing here? I mean, this helps me. It may not help you. He said, he's before all things, and by him all things consist. Right now, where you stand, and the only reason that you're breathing and that your heart's beating is because there's a God in heaven that by his grace and mercy has allowed it to happen tonight. Amen. And when the time comes and that he no longer wants it to happen, and that'll be all she wrote. Amen. And thank God. Listen. And until that time comes, and praise God, listen, friend, he's got preeminence in all things. Amen. Some of you remember this, but it's been years ago. I used to have a little printout of it somewhere, and it's probably still somewhere in this pulpit amongst every other thing that I put back here. Amen. But I used to have a little picture of laminate, and we learned about it there in pharmacy school. I heard a preacher named Louis Giglio preach on it one time, and he said this: if you got down to the cells of the body, inside every one of those cells, there is a protein molecule that holds the cell walls together. And it said it acts like the rebar of concrete. And it said, just go home and look at it. And I couldn't wait. Amen. And Daniel Webster was the first fellow to tell me about it. And we went home, best I remember. We went home from that biology class, and I got on Google. Amen. And right there is the prettiest picture of a cross you ever did see. He said, even the cells of your body, how they are literally held together by the cross of Christ. I'm saying this, friend, he's a mighty good creator. Amen. Amen. By him everything consists. If it's standing because he allows us. Amen. And so I thought about, first of all, amen, he's preeminent in creation. But then I want you to notice with me this next one. And verse number 20, I like this real good. He said, having made peace through the blood of his cross. I thought, thank God, he was preeminent on the cross that day. Amen. And now listen, there's some mighty good preaching. There's mighty good preaching around. And the thief that rejected him, and how they made fun of him. There's mighty good preaching to be said about how close you are to Christ and you still miss out on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's even better preaching to be done about the thief that said, listen, remember me when thou comest thy kingdom. And boy, that's good preaching. Amen. I might preach on that for a while. I do that. Amen. That makes me happy. And just to be standing there in the thing. He wasn't baptized He didn't do no door knocking. He didn't join no church. He just trusted Christ. Amen. And what about somebody getting into heaven like that? Hey, look here, friend. Had no funny feelings in his stomach. Had no lightning bolts down his back. Had no hair standing up on his arms. Had standing there dying. And looks over and says, that's him. Amen. Amen. Thank God. But I want to tell you this, friend. Had the best preaching to be done around the cross. Ain't to the one who is on the right or the left. Amen. That's the one right in the middle. Amen. I got thinking about this. This helped me, Ty. You know what I got thinking about? I got thinking about he was preeminent in his name. I don't know, Clark, but there was two boys that died on either side of him that day. And when they came out of the womb, they bore a name. But for the life of me, I don't know it. Do you? Amen. You know what either the thief's name is? I hear people say this all the time. They'll say the thief on the right accepted him and the thief on the left rejected him. But you'll not never find that in your Bible. Amen. And some of you will have to perk up under that, and I'll tell you what you do. Hey, you go home, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you'll find that does not come out of a Bible, but it comes out of a song. Amen. How we reject songs and we believe the Bible. Amen. Ain't that right, Dustin? Praise. I'm about to run on that right there. Praise. I about got real happy right then. Amen. I'm saying this. He was born. I don't know how long they lived. But when they set out there that day and they died, it was somebody said, that's Kevin right there. Or that's Tom. Or that's Bill or whatever. But for the life of me, we don't know their name. It's not recording in history. It doesn't even make no difference what their name was. But for the last 2,000 years, boy, the sweetest name to ever be sung is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why that is? Listen to me. You know why that is? It's not because you decided it. It's not because I decided it. It's not because the people there said, let's remember it. I don't got nothing to do with it. You know why his name's remembered 2,000 years later? And because the Bible teaches us over there in Philippians chapter 2, and it said, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, and made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and been found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. It says, wherefore, amen, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every tongue should confess, things in heaven, things in the earth, things under the earth, and that he is God, out of the glory of God the Father. I'm saying this, amen. He's got preeminence, thank God. Oh, yes. We don't look at either one of the other two. I'm not looking to a thief for salvation. Thank God, no, no, no. We're looking at him. His name's better than their name. His nature's better than their nature. Listen, I got no book about it at the house. That's from an old fellow named Henry Pickering, and they called him High Pickering. It's called 1,000, maybe. It seemed like the title of it. It doesn't matter what title of it is. I can't even remember. But in that book, it says his. It's talking about wonderful things about the cross. It's written way back in, early 1800s. And Joan, listen, son. And you've heard this before. But this old preacher back then, he said this. He said the natures on the cross that day had demonstrated three different people. He said there was one on the cross that day that died in his sin. And I thought, oh my. And then he looked over there at the other thief, and he said, and there's another one over there, and he died to his sin. And I thought, man, that's even better. But he said the best one is the one in the middle. And it said he died for our sin. Amen. That boy, I like that. That one died in sin. That one died to sin. That one died for sin. And the one that died for sin, that's the only way you'll make it to heaven. And that's why he has preeminence. Amen. I've never sung a song about the thief, but thank God I like page 305. Amen. Yes, sir. Praise God. I like that because he loved me. I like every song on the cross. I'm saying thank God. I listen, whatever he got on the cross, he's preeminent in his name. He's preeminent in his nature. He's preeminent in his notification. Up until that time, you know who had preeminence? Moses had preeminence. Everybody died under the law. But the Bible said, for the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by the Lord Jesus Christ. And Colossians 2:14, that's where it says he blotted out the handwriting of ordinances which was against us. You know what happened on the cross that day? He said, Moses, you're no longer preeminent. Amen. Moses knew it too. You know how I know he knew it? Here's a little foreshadowing of it. Matthew 17. On the Mount Transfiguration. Jesus is standing on the mount. The prophet's standing on the mount by Elijah. Moses is standing on the mount as the law. And they're all standing there that day. Oh, Peter and James and John. They fall down as dead men. And when they come to, I love how it says it. It said, they saw no man have saved Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Hey, listen, if you get a hold of this, it'll help you. Amen. You know what they're saying right there? They're saying, boy, there's a time. Hey, it was a time Moses was real good. And there was a time that Elijah and the prophets, that was real good. I said, but right now, it's not about Moses, and it's not about the prophets. I said, the only person we're looking to now is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He's got preeminence. Don't you think that's right? Amen. He's got preeminence in creation. There's no doubt about it. You know what happened? Look at me, friend. This will help you. Hey, you know, this makes me happy. This may not do nothing for you. This is making me so happy today. I couldn't hardly stand it. I mean, amen. I like it when I get to stand and make my own self happy doing it. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Hey, I don't know if you know it or not, and you think, I like to enjoy preaching too. Amen. It's not always enjoyable. Sometimes you just got to preach. Amen. But I like to enjoy it, thank God. And I was thinking about this. I want you to listen. You know what's amazing to me? Is that whenever creation saw him on the cross, you know what creation couldn't help but do? It said, man, that's him. That's him right there. All kinds of people died the day before. People was going to die the day after. But on that day, everything got turned upside down. Everything stopped doing what it was supposed to do to recognize that that's him. Amen. Ain't that right? You know what it says? It says that the sun stopped shining that day. Amen. Went black. And the sun said, boy, I can't shine. Said, that's him. That's him. Amen. Amen. And it says the earth, it usually stays put. But not on that day. You know what happened on that day? The whole world just trembled. Amen. And that's right. Amen. Ain't that right, John? Thank God. And those rocks that they, you know them rocks that they just stay planted. You know what they done that day? They just tore themselves in half. They said, I don't even know what to do. That's him, though. That's him. And look here, friend, I read this one time. I love it, amen. It said that there between the holy place and the holiest of holies, that great temple veil. I read this, it said the Jews, Stephen, it said they take four teams of mules and four teams of mules on either side. I could not pull that temple veil in half. But bless God, on that day it said, we can't stay together here, boys. It's time to be ripped down, amen. I believe that finger of God had just tore it down. And whether it was to let us in or let God out, here's what I can tell you for sure. A new covenant was established that day, and it's got preeminence, amen. And thank God, I'm no longer under the law. I'm glad I'm under grace. I don't have to bring a sacrifice. One was provided for me, amen. I'm glad I'm saved and sealed to the uttermost, amen. Oh yes, had preeminence. On the cross, amen. Watch what your Bible said. Let me turn mine back right side up, amen. Here's what he said. Notice this. In verse number 18, it said, and he is the head of the body of the church, amen. You know where else he ought to have preeminence? Thank God, right here, amen. In the house of God. Oh, listen, I'm going to tell you this. You'll only find, now listen, stay tuned and mark this down. Write this in your notes somewhere. Hey, put a pin on it and circle that thing, put it in the file in your mind and remember it, all right? It's only two times in your New Testament that the word preeminence is recorded. One of them's right here, and it's about the Lord Jesus Christ, and the other's in 3 John, and it's about Diotrephes, who loved to have the preeminence among the brethren. It's only one way this works, and that's if Christ has all the preeminence and all of us got none of it, amen. Yeah. You know what happens? You know what ruin our churches? Whenever we've got Diotrephes, that they love to have the preeminence. I'm going to give you a few things. Praise God. I'm going to give you a few things tonight. I think Christ ought to be preeminent in our music.
Yep.
Don't you think so? We don't sing Long Black Train in this church. Amen. We don't sing Go Rest High on the Mountain. Amen. Praise God, preacher. You know what we sing about? We sing about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I think every song we sing ought to be about how high and holy that He is. I think we ought to sing about how marvelous He is. I think we ought to sing about how good He is, how holy He is. I'm not interested in listening at the none of those songs in here that they jerk a tear out of my eye and they try to jerk a step out of my foot. I'm interested in those songs. Amen. Amen. Boy, they get way down deep. I'll tell you this, thank God. And last night I saw that Brother England's and they got to singing, and the lady that was singing, her voice was hoarse, and she was a trying. And you know how frustrated it is when you're just rasping around, and she's shaking her head no. But it didn't matter to me what she sounded like. I was singing that song, Alyssa, bring it all to Him. And I don't know what to tell you what happened. But boy, I was sitting there, and God got to turn in my heart about things I need to pray about. And all of a sudden, I thought, man, I'm glad we wasn't singing songs about the Pope tonight. Amen. I'm glad when I came in the house of God and we wasn't singing about a preacher, and we've got no conferences around here about great men, and we only got songs about great God. Amen. And when we come in the house of God and He's got preeminence, it'll help all of us. Amen. I think it ought to be preeminent in our music. I think it ought to be preeminent in our mouths. Amen. I think when we lift up and start, look here, friend, you'll not never find one testimony in this Bible. The old Apostle Paul writing to the church at 1 Thessalonica, and he says, oh, y'all remember when I was killing all them people? Yeah. You won't never find that. You won't never find them stories over there. They get up and start testifying. They sit with that old demon at Gadara, or that woman at the well. There she says, oh, you remember how many men I slept with? Boy, they'll not never testify about all that. You know what they will get to talking about? Though, every one of them good testimonies. You know what they get to talking about? I get it. She said, come see a man and tell me all things ever I did. And the Apostle Paul said, boy, he said, I was a blasphemer. I was injurious. He said, but I obtained mercy because I'd done it ignorantly. And then all of a sudden he starts talking about how great his God is. I'm not interested in how sorry you was. Amen. I'm just interested in how good God is. I'll tell you this, thank God. We don't need no more sad stories. And we need stories about the Savior, amen, and what He's done, thank God. Oh, yes, it's almost a competition of who's had the saddest life sometimes. Somebody help me. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Don't look at me like that. And somebody stands up and they say, well, you know, it was terrible in my life. And then somebody stands up and they said, well, I got to one-up that. It's even more terrible in my life, amen. Not only has everybody I love died, but I stubbed my toe too. Amen. And it just gets worse and worse. And the folks start tearing up. But listen, look here, friend. I didn't come to the house of God. Look, listen, you know what the truth of the matter is? Everybody in this room got some sad story. Amen. Has every one of us in here got heartaches? That's all of us do. Yeah. It may be a little different, but we've all got them. Amen. But I didn't come to hear about that on the church night. I come to hear somebody just rear back and say, hey, boy, all I can tell you is like the psalmist David. He said, thank God He brought me up also out of the horrible pit and out of the miry clay. He set my feet on a rock, established my going, and He put a new song in my mouth. Even praise to the Father. Amen. I think He ought to be preeminent in the music. Hell, preeminent in our mind. I think He ought to be preeminent in the message. Don't you think so? Look here, friend. I got to be careful right there. I want to tell you this. Ain't nobody ever got saved because of your sad story. I'm convinced of this. Now, don't nobody get offended. I'm convinced of this. I'm convinced that if you left me in a room with 10-year-olds or younger and you give me 15 minutes, and I could tell enough sad stories that I'd have every one of them talked into thinking they was going to heaven before the 15 minutes was over. I believe that. You say, why you say, well, listen, first of all, you start with, you want to die and go to hell? Yeah. Well, I don't know nobody does, do you? Then, boy, you get to talking about, you know how they'll be separated. Somebody help me.
Mom and daddy. All of a sudden, that heart says, boy, I want to be separated from mom or dad. I don't want to go to hell. Yeah. And I say, well, all you got to do is just bow your head and pray. And you know who will get help out of that? Nobody. They'll die and go to hell believing a lie. Amen. 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 You say, well, what do you do then? You just preach Christ. Amen. 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 I want to tell you this, thank God, if folks die and go to hell, it ought not be because of the way we're preaching it. Amen. We just rear back and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And if Christ ain't enough to get them, it'll not be God. Amen. Hey, listen, if what he done is not enough, ain't nothing else I can do. Amen. I think you ought to have preeminence in our message. I think you ought to have the preeminence in our manners in church. Somebody help me on that. Don't you think so? Hey, you recognize any word in the Bible how y'all to act in church? Y'all think he is or not? 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Somebody look at it and see if that's not. If it ain't right, it's chapter 2, verse 15. But the Apostle Paul tells young Timothy, he says, but if I tarry long, he said that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. Amen. Amen. You know what he says? You ought to know how to act in the house of God. Praise God. Can I shout on my own preaching right there? That felt good. We get in the house of God. We ought to know how to behave ourselves. I'll tell you how you ought to act in here. As if he is above everything else and the only thing that matters. And boy, if he gets to being the only thing that matters in our music and in our manners and in our methods and in our ministry and in our message, you know what will happen? Thank God he'll get to having the preeminence in this place. And when Christ gets to having the preeminence in this place, it's untelling what he'll do. Amen. Thank God. I got to give you this last, and I'll be done. I can tell some of you want me to be done. Verse 27, watch this. He says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the children, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's got preeminence in creation. He stepped into creation, and the second he stepped into it, it said, that's him. The second he stepped on the cross, everything looked at it and said, that's him. The second he steps in a church, everybody says, boy, that's him. That's him. But right here, he steps inside the child. Christ in you. Now, creation didn't have no problem saying he's above all. And the cross didn't have no problem saying he's above all. And we even agreed tonight as a church, he is above all. But here's where the rubber meets the road. When Christ stepped inside my life, he abides in my heart. Is he above all right there? Boy, he stepped in right there. How many things is there that he has to look over and he says, oh, I'd like to have the preeminence. I'd like to have it. But instead, there's something else that you're holding that's not near as superior in its excellence, but you're putting it right up there close to me. I tell you what he does in verse 28. He gives you three things in verse 28. And I'll say these three things, and I'll be done quickly, but you listen to me. I want you to see what it says. Verse 28, as soon as I find, get back to that place. Verse number 28 says, whom we preach. You know what the first thing ought to have preeminence? The Word of God. I'll tell you what happens. When we come to something in this book, and this book says something that's different in our life, this right here ought to have preeminence. Boy, we ought to lift that thing up high. You know what, Julie, listen. You're just in my line of sight tonight. I'm sorry. Callie, I'll preach to you for a second. That all right? You know what he says about this Bible? You know what, Donnie, he says about the Word of God? He says that he'll magnify it even above his very word. I mean, above his very name, I'm sorry. He said, boy, he said that word, his name's above every name. And he said, I'll tell you what, I hold my word up higher than even that. Yeah. How in the world can he esteem something so highly that we hold so lowly? I'm saying this first thing. This won't be long. I'm just asking this. How many things in this Bible right here? No, I'm not talking about what you don't know about. I'm not talking about something secret in, you know, in the book of Habakkuk chapter 2 that you ain't never read. No. I'm talking about how many things do you know about? Yeah. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Is that in the Bible or not? Do we know that? Does everybody in here know it? Does God got preeminence about that right there in their life? All right, there's the Word of God. I know. Here's what the Bible says next. Watch this. He said, whom we preach, let me get there, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man all wisdom. Not only we got the Word of God ought to have preeminence, but the wisdom of God ought to have preeminence in our life. You know how many times I've walked down the road and I said, God, I don't know why I'm here. This don't make sense. Somebody help me right there. Would y'all at least nod at me? I know that first one hurt. I know that. Boy, look here. You understand when I preach, you don't get nothing firsthand. It's all secondhand. You understand that? There ain't nothing I've ever preached from this pulpit that what I've told you in passion in 35 seconds, God's dealt with me over it for days and days and days before I've preached it. The Word of God needs to have preeminence. I'm talking about in Kevin. And then the will of God. Boy, I tell you what, I just take my hands off the wheel. Amen. I've told you this before. I feel like telling it to you again tonight. I'll never forget that old preacher there. And I believe it's D.L. Moody, best I remember. That fella followed him to a meeting. He said, D.L. Moody, he said, I'd like to have what you got. I'd like to have the ministry you have. He said, son, are you listening to me? He said, yeah. He said, right now you're trying to sit in the driver's seat. You're trying to drive your life. He said, don't do that. He said, as a matter of fact, he said, where you'll want to sit is right next to Christ. You want to sit in the passenger seat? He said, don't do that. He said, you'll be trying to tell him how to drive the whole time you're going down the road. I thought, oh my. He said, as a matter of fact, don't even get in the back seat. He said, you sit in the back seat. He said, you'll be trying to point out his faults and his failures. He said, the best way to travel with Christ is to get the keys out of the ignition, go to the trunk, open it up, put yourself in, hand the keys to Christ, and shut the trunk. And just be happy whenever he opens the trunk with wherever you've landed, because you know you've let Christ get you there. Take that home with you. Take it home with you. Praise God. I'm about to get happy again. I want to say this, the last thing he says here, the Word of God ought to have preeminence in your life and in mine. The wisdom of God ought to have preeminence in my life. And the last thing he says is this, he says, warning every man, teaching every man to wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. You know what really ought to have preeminence in our life is the will of God. Let me ask you this. It's amazing to me. Alyssa, come the piano. I'm done preaching. But Hannah, listen to me. Brother Mike, this grieved me. I got to thinking, I'm the only thing, Josh, that has problem with him having preeminence. The only. There's not a bird who stiffens its neck at Christ. There's not an element. Even the demons, Brother Doug, whenever he showed up to the demons and he said, get out, they didn't resist that. They got out. On the cross at Calvary, everything there said, that's him. In the church, we know nothing can happen without him.
That's right, brother.
But when I go home, there's going to be things in my heart that have no eternal value that I'm going to raise up to that same spot. You say, preacher, you ought not say, I'm being honest with you. Now, I don't like it. But I can't tell you how many times that I've watched ESPN when I could have been reading my Bible. I can't tell you how many times that there's been things that mean absolutely nothing that I have turned my nose up to prayer, to the Word of God. And here's the question. I'm done preaching. I'm done. I promise you, I'm done.
But you know what's crazy about it, Jess? That bird, not redeemed. That lion, not redeemed. The cross, not redeemed. Kevin, redeemed. The only thing he redeemed is the only thing that looks back at him and says, I don't know if I want you to have preeminence. You stand to your feet, I've cleared my heart. Play some song. You do what you need to. I'm going to pray.